Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, the 27th chapter. Acts chapter 27 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1187. We'll be reading just four verses, the last four verses of this chapter, starting with verse 41 and reading through verse 44. However, we will read the verses responsibly. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God? And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Let's pray. And Lord, we have yet another Sunday, another Lord's Day, and we have this special place where we assemble and where we hear thy word preached. Help us not to take for granted our privilege. We pray that you bless us and help us with the power of thy Spirit. May we be attuned to thee to hear the word, to do that which you would have us to do about it. Very especially help our preacher as he has quite a burden to carry this great church upon his shoulders. Give him wisdom in thy power this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
To sing that chorus again, just a minute. Jacob was a young man. Because of the circumstances in his life, he felt he had to leave home. The first night he left home, he went to sleep, got a rock and put the rock under his head for his pillow. And Jacob dreamed the dream. That's where the dream of Jacob's ladder was dreamed. And Jacob made a decision there that he would serve God. Jacob wandered away from Bethel, was gone for 20 years. But he always remembered Bethel. Time and time again during those 20 years, he wanted to go back to Bethel. Back to what he used to be. I'm talking to some folks this morning who've been away from Bethel. Back to the prayer life my soul longs to know. Finally, after 20 long years, Jacob did what scores of people in this room ought to be this morning. He said, I'm going back to Bethel. The word Bethel means house of God. Jacob got back to Bethel. He was so good at back, he changed the name to El Bethel. El meaning God. Bethel meaning house of God. El Bethel means the God of the house of God. Have you drifted away this morning? Is your prayer life in shambles? You're a stranger to this book? Come to church only rarely? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for you to say with Jacob, back to Bethel I must go, back to the joy life my soul used to know and longs to know. Bethel is calling, and I must go. Sing the chorus for the rest.
Back to Bethel I must go, back where the rivers of sweet waters flow. Back to the true life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling, and I must go.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, some cannot swim. Some cannot swim. I hope you'll listen as I speak. Father, I pray today that it helped me to realize the importance of this hour. I read that little verse in the Bible the other day, a man sent from God. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm one of those men sent from God. And I've been sent this morning for the deliverance of this message. And these people today are going to have to face you as I am for this hour. do thou in this hour help us to give ourselves anew to Christ and serve you better because of it. Amen. I'd like for the fellows to bring my things I'm going to use in my sermon this morning up here on the platform. I'm speaking this morning on the subject, some cannot swim. Just as quickly as you can, fellas. And over here, and I want the boards up here, please. Let me tell you a story as you listen carefully. Paul was on his way to Rome. Don't miss it. Paul was on his way to Rome. Let me use this mic, I think, this morning. ...266 people were on a ship with the Apostle Paul. Paul was a prisoner. He was going to Rome to be tried. And the ship came into came upon a storm. And I won't go into the circumstances. It's a rather long story and several different chapters to the story. But they came to a little creek place one time, and the ship ran into troubled waters, and the ship was torn beyond use. Now there were 266 people on this ship. These 266 people their lives were endangered. By the way, some of these were prisoners. Paul was one of these prisoners. So they decided to kill the prisoners because they thought they'd escape. But the centurion, which means a man in charge of 100 men, the centurion said, no, we won't kill them. Said, you folks that can swim, said, you go ahead and jump off the sinking ship, the wrecked boat. You go ahead and jump off in the waters first. And those that can't swim, you stay on what's left of the boat. And so those that could swim jumped off into the waters, and they swam to shore and were safe. Those that couldn't swim, the Bible says, and I read it for you, the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, the Bible says that they were saved by this. It says it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Now, I hate to tell you this, I've always been athletic. Most any sport I can play, and have played most any sport. But I never did learn to swim. If this were water right here, and I had to swim to Bob O'Clair over there, or die, my wife would be a widow in about 10 seconds. I used to go out in the creek and swim with the guys. 10-mile creek, there's a 5-mile creek. Just go out there and swim with the guys. So what kind of bathing suits did you have? That's where streaking was first invented. And I used to go out there. And I spent much of my life in the creek. I used to go to the YMCA as a guest of my buddies, and I'd go to the pool. And when I was in the Army, I spent some time in the pool, but I never learned to swim. I just couldn't. I wasn't shaped right. It's just something. To this day, how many of you are like I am? You can't swim. Several of you who are a bunch of sissies too. And but every other sport I could conquer, except football, baseball, basketball, golf, and tennis, and wrestling, and boxing, and so forth. But some of these folks could not swim. Now, the Bible says that those that could swam to shore, but those that could not were saved, some on broken pieces of the boat or ship. And that's exactly what this is over here, a broken piece of a boat. Bible says some were saved by boards. Maybe those boards would float. I don't know exactly how it was, but some grabbed a hold of the boards, and they were saved by boards. And some were saved by broken pieces of the ship. Now, I want you to notice two things this morning. First thing I want you to notice is those that were saved. Those that were saved. They were saved from the storm.
Now listen carefully. This old broken piece of a ship is not worth a single thing except one thing. It can save a person. That's all. The 266 people could not be saved with this broken piece of a ship. This board right here is worth nothing. If there's no storm, this board's worth nothing. If there's no shipwreck, this board is worth nothing. But because of the storm, this board became very important. And because of the storm, this shipwreck over here, this old ship, a piece of a ship, became very important. Now, everybody that's ever been used of God came from a storm. I want you to notice those who came. Had there been no storm, these pieces would have been useless. It's from the storm that usefulness comes. I said it's from the storm that usefulness comes. John Wesley, for example. John Wesley, the great man who brought England back to God. John Wesley was on a ship coming to America. And he was in a storm. Suddenly the ship was cast into a terrible storm. And John Wesley was a young man. He was fearful for his life. He was literally mortally scared to death, almost mortally scared to death. And there were some Moravians there on the ship. And these Moravians, during this storm, what looked like everybody was going to die, these Moravians began to sing. And they calmly sang as the ship was tossing to and fro, and it looked like that death was inevitable. And John Wesley, who was a preacher himself, began to hear, well, he was a Christian himself, he began to hear these Moravians as they sang, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved wretch like me," and songs like that. And John Wesley could not believe how calm they were. And as the ship was tossing and turning, John Wesley, afraid for his life, the more dangerous the storm became, and the more precarious their position was, the calmer these Moravian people sang. And in the storm, John Wesley rushed up to them and said, "What is it? What's the secret?" And that's why some of you people, look at some of our folks that are going through the storms of life, and you say, "I couldn't take that." Won't you rush up to us and ask us what it is? It's Jesus. That's what it is. And from that, John Wesley became acquainted with a man named Peter Bowler. And Peter Bowler took John Wesley and tutored him in the Lord. And John Wesley became the great evangelist and the great Christian that spared England. Had there been no storm, there had been no great John Wesley. Martin Luther. Martin Luther planned to be a lawyer. One day Martin Luther was on a trip in the woods. A storm came. A lightning storm. Martin Luther was scared to death and he fell to the ground in this storm and said, "I'll be a monk. I'll be a monk." He was spared from the storm and did become a monk. In the monk's cell, a man named Staupitz gave Martin Luther a Bible. Martin Luther, in the monk's cell, with this Bible given to him by a man named Staupitz, began to read this Bible, and he came to one little statement made four times in the Bible: "The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith." And Martin Luther led the Reformation on that one scripture: "The just shall live by faith." As he was walking up the so-called crawling up the so-called sacred stairs in Rome, where some of us had been, he was crawling up, doing penance for his sin. All of a sudden he said, I don't have to do this. The just shall live by faith. I don't have to do penance. It's been done for me on Calvary. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith." And off his knees, holding a Bible that Staupitz gave him, Martin Luther started the Great Reformation. Had there been no storm, there would have been no Great Reformation. The great ministry of John Wesley came out of a storm. The great ministry of Martin Luther came out of a storm. John Bunyan was a sinful soldier. I mean, living a wicked life. Young man, John Bunyan, was to walk guard one day on sentinel duty. One of his buddies came up and did something I never heard of before. I wish they'd done it to me. He said, "John, let me walk guard for you tonight. Can you ex-soldiers imagine that? Let me walk guard for you tonight." And John Bunyan, surprised because the fellow asked if he could walk guard for him, let him do it. And his soldier buddy walked guard for John Bunyan. And that very night, the soldier guard, substitute guard, was shot in the head and killed. John Bunyan's life was crushed. Storm winds of adversity and hurt and doubt came into John Bunyan's life. He met a man named Holy Gifford. Don't forget these names. Stolpitz. Don't forget the name Peter Bowler. Don't forget the name Holy Gifford. And Holy Gifford came to John Bunyan and nurtured him in the Lord. And John Bunyan became a Baptist preacher. And John Bunyan became a Baptist street preacher. Ms. Howells and I were in Maui, Hawaii. You couldn't find a decent church to go to. And finally we were driving down that little main street and little vacation-like street. Every vacation spot has one called Front Street. And I told her to stand over here. We're going to go down. We're going to go down the submarine. We went down the submarine down at the bottom of the sea. I saw my sins down there. I saw yours too, but I didn't see them all. There were so many I couldn't see them all. They said take all the way across the Atlantic Ocean to get yours. I saw mine, two or three of them down there in the bottom of the sea. I told her to wait there while I went and got the car. We got back out of the submarine. So while she was there, there's a guy preaching on the streets. I mean, he's standing there preaching. I don't know if he's preaching the truth or not. He looks sort of like an idiot, like some of you guys do on the streets. But he's preaching on the streets. And John Bunyan decided he'd become a street preacher, all because of the storm in his life. His buddy, walking guard in his place, was killed and shot to death on guard in place of John Bunyan. And he was cast into depression and discouragement and despondency. And from the storm came the street preacher. And one day they came and said, you can't preach on the streets. And John Bunyan said, I have to preach on the street. And they put him in the Bedford jail. And for 12 years, he languished there in the Bedford jail. And finally, one day, his little blind daughter, if you ever want to read a touching story, read the life of that little blind daughter. His little blind daughter came to the prison. She said, Daddy, I've got some good news for you. I've got some good news for you. And he said, what is it, sweetheart? And she said, you can come home to Mama and me. And John Bunyan said, wonderful, wonderful. When? She said, they said they'd let you out, Daddy. You can get out today. You can come home to Mama and me. She said, all you got to do is one thing. He said, what is it? That little blind girl said, Daddy, if you just won't preach on the streets anymore, you can come home to Mama and me. And John Bunyan looked at that little blind daughter and said, if I am released from prison today, I'll preach on the streets tomorrow. If there had been no storm, there would have been no great John Bunyan, and there would have been no Pilgrim's Progress. A little boy named Dwight, his daddy left him. His mother reared him alone, tried to. The day came when his mother called little Dwight into the room and said, Dwight, I've got to send you somewhere else to live. That little boy named Dwight was orphaned off or out for just room and board. Was not reared by his own mama or daddy. Became a teenager, he got a job in a shoe store. A Sunday school teacher named Kimball. Don't forget the name Bowling. Don't forget the name Stolpitz. Don't forget the name Holy Gifford. Don't forget the name Kimball. Mr. Kimball walked nervously outside that shoe store. He was just a timid Sunday school teacher, and he paced to and fro nervously, trying to get the courage to walk inside. He did walk inside. He did tell that little orphan boy, orphan for his room and board, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Dwight L. Moody became a child of God. And Dwight L. Moody lifted two continents toward God. Had there been no storm, there'd have been no Dwight L. By the way, Dwight L. Moody started the North Side Gospel Center, which is now the Moody Church in Chicago. You know how he started, Brother Roy? He couldn't get anybody to come the first Sunday. He paid people to come the first Sunday. We're not going to do that, folks. He got 38 ruffians off the street and hired them to come to church, and that's the way that church was started. It wasn't long to run 2,500 people. Had there been no storm, no Martin Luther. Had there been no storm, no Reformation. Had there been no storm, no Pilgrim's Progress. Had there been no storm, no revival under John Wesley. I'm saying every good movement of God and every great servant of God has come out of a storm. Evans Robert was a Welsh coal miner who led the great Welsh revival early in this century. He was too sick to work and too poor not to work. He had to work, but he couldn't work. He was too sick to work, but he was too poor not to work. And so he was a very sick man. And he began to pray this prayer. Oh Lord, bend me or break me. Bend me or break me. He had to go to work and try to work enough just to make a little living. And then he'd come home and suffer because he did. And he cried, oh Lord, bend me or break me. Bend me or break me. Bend me or break me. And God did bend him, and finally God broke him, and from that came the great Welsh revival. I'm saying the storm. Here's the little piece of the ship, and here are a couple of little boards left over from the ship. And the Bible said that from that storm, 266 people were spared, not by the ship, but by the old pieces of the ship, leftover refuse boards and pieces of the ship. George W. Truett, pastor for over 40 years, the First Baptist Church in Dallas. Dr. Truett was a young preacher. Went out hunting one day with his best friend. Crawling through a barbed wire fence on a hunting trip, his gun was accidentally discharged and shot and killed his best friend. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had services in a great tabernacle building, or great building, and the building caught on fire. And hundreds of people were burned. And from that came the great ministry of Spurgeon. John Fletcher was a wicked young man. Joined a buccaneering captain on a gold-searching tour of the New World. Went to Lisbon to sail. Asked for a pot of tea. A servant came to give him a pot of tea and poured accidentally the hot, boiling pot of tea all over John Fletcher. And John Fletcher was so sick he couldn't sail. And he wrestled between life and death. And finally one day he died in Dwight Moody, preached his funeral service. And during the funeral, Wesley did, preached his funeral service. And Wesley said, that's the face of the holiest man I ever saw in my life. And the Bible said the walls of his room were stained with the breath of his prayers. I just want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that from your storm comes victory. From storm came the Reformation. From storm came the great ministry of Dr. Lee Robertson years ago at Highland Park Baptist Church. From storm came the John Wesleys. From the storm came the John Bunyans. From the storm came Pilgrim's Progress. It's no fun to be in the storm, but I got some news for you. When you come out of the storm, you'll be equipped to serve God then. Now I want to turn to not those that were saved, but what saved them. That's some of you. There was a day when you were a ship sailing queenly on the seas. There was a day when you were serving faithful, but you got away from Bethel. And you, like Jacob, are outside the will of God. And you, like Jacob, have been torn with the storms of life, the storm of sin, the storm of divorce, the storm of failure, the storm of wasted years. I'd like to serve notice to you today. You cannot be a ship anymore to guide 266 people to shore, but you can be an old board to take somebody to shore. What I mainly want you to see right now is a few boards and broken pieces of the ship. A group of Moravians. Not great, beautiful cruise ships. Not great, beautiful queens of the sea. But a group of Moravians in a storm singing with the calm peace of Christ in their heart. Hey, they didn't bring millions to Christ like Wesley did. But a group of Moravians singing, hey, they brought John Wesley out of the storm. And John Wesley to shore. Maybe just an old board. Or maybe just a piece of the ship that's left over. That piece of the ship can't bring 266, but that old piece of the ship can bring one. I'm talking to folks this morning who never bring 266 folks to Christ. You never pastor a great church and preach to thousands like this, but I've got some wonderful news to you. I don't care who you are. God can use you to bring somebody to shore. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain. that by the skill of thy dear hand some beauty may remain. They march in my office like an army, one after the other, and I counsel with them, Brother Hiles, I'm having an illegitimate baby. What can I do? I wanted to be a preacher's wife. I know I can't ever do that. Okay, you can't ever do that, but bless God, you can bring one person to shore. I want you to think of a man named Staupitz. No sturdy lifeboat was he. No ocean-going yacht was he. Just aboard. He cannot bring 266 to shore, but he can give a Bible to Martin Luther. He can go to the cell of a monk and give a Bible to Martin Luther. And if there had been no person who was an old left overboard to give a Bible to Martin Luther, there would have been no Martin Luther, and there would have been no great Reformation. Ladies and gentlemen, that little Sunday school class you teach is vitally important. That bus route you have is important. That son you have at your knee is important. Those children that call you mom or dad are important. It just may be that you'll never be an ocean liner to bring millions of thousands to shore, but you can be an old broken piece of the ship, and you can bring somebody to shore. A man named Holy Gifford. No American Cup sailboat was he. But he brought John Bunyan out of the storm. How about Mr. Kimball? No aircraft carrier was he. No sturdy motorboat was he. But Mr. Kimball was aboard. Mr. Kimball never preached the Great Revival. Mr. Kimball never had a citywide campaign. Mr. Kimball never saved the nation. Mr. Kimball never changed England. Mr. Kimball never changed America, but Mr. Kimball changed the man who changed America. And he never became a great ship that brought thousands ashore, but praise God, he brought Dwight L. Moody ashore, and there'd been no great ship like Dwight Moody if there hadn't been a broken piece of the ship like Mr. Kimball. Let me tell you about a little broken piece of the ship named Daisy Hawes. Daisy Hawes was a Sunday school teacher, taught a teenage boy's Sunday school class. And one day a timid boy went to her class. His name was Lee. And Daisy Hawes won Lee Robertson to Jesus Christ. Hundreds of thousands have been in heaven because of that sturdy ship that sailed the seas and fought the wicked winds for many years. But Daisy Hawes brought him. I wish I could talk to you Christian school teachers for a while. Let you give your best this year. Let you realize that you may never be a Moody or a Sunday or a Spurgeon or a John Bunyan or a Martin Luther or a John Fletcher or a John Wesley, but praise God, I don't care who you are, if you're a broken piece of the ship, you can bring somebody to the shore. A man named Peter Bowler. No shiny seagoing tourist vessel is he. No cruise ship is he, but he brought John Wesley out of the storm. Now listen carefully. There are probably not many John Wesleys here. I hope there's one. I hope somewhere in the chapel of Hiles Anderson College there's one. But there are not many here. There are not many Martin Luthers here. John Bunyans, I hope there's one. Hope somewhere in this great crowd and sea of faces, there's some young man by the grace of God that God will lead you to become the next John Bunyan, the next Martin Luther, the next John Wesley, the next George Truett, the next Lee Robertson, the next Dwight Moody. But not many Dwight Moodys are here. Not many John Wesleys are here. Not many Billy Sundays are here. Not many George W. Truetts are here. Not many John Fletchers are here. But there are hundreds of old broken pieces here this morning. This is the way some of you look today. You were once a ship clean and pure. You were once sailing the seas with the majesty of a cruise ship. You once were carrying many, many people, but the storms of life came. I'm talking about the storm of divorce, the storm of sin, the storm of battles, the storm of heartaches,
the storm of failure, the storm of wasted years. You can't carry thousands to shore, but I got news for you. You can carry one. I got to think about this, fellas. I had a spell this morning. I'm in a big, happy, shouting spell in my office. Paul was an old man. I bet he couldn't swim. Wouldn't you have loved to have been that board? Here's the Apostle Paul hanging on to a board. Boy, I bet that board's up in Heaven's Museum right now. You heard him. You heard the story. At Miller Road Baptist Church, we were having in Garland years ago, about 40 years ago, 42 years ago, we were having a soul winning campaign. We had a guy in our church that had lost most of his marbles. And not many of you folks have found him either, but he lost most of his marbles. He talked like this. And nothing wrong folks to talk like that, but the poor guy was just, the cheese had fallen out of his sandwich. Our campaign slogan was, "Everyone win one. Everyone win one." And he said, "Well, you pray I win one. You pray I win one." I said, "Yeah, I'll pray you win one." I didn't believe God would answer me, but an old story. But one Sunday night, our church was small in those days, didn't have but about 150 people. And one Sunday night, about 100 folks were there. And sitting right over there on the back row on that side was the biggest banker in Garland, Texas. I was stunned. He was the banker that let us borrow all of our money. Big, heavy-set fellow. All bankers are big, heavy-set fellows. Big, heavy-set fellow. Diamond-studded tie, diamond ring. Sitting back, our folks couldn't believe that the president of the biggest bank in town had come to our church. And I preached that night, didn't do anything. The old nut was over here in this corner of the auditorium, and the guy was sitting back there, and the old nut took off. And I said, "Oh, my soul, he's going to go witness to him." He walked back there, you know. And everybody prayed he'd die with a heart attack before he got back there. This big old rich fellow back there, and this old nut said, "You want to put his arm around?" He said, "You want to go to heaven?" And the old rich man said, "No." He said, "Go to hell then." And he didn't mean that cursing. That's just what he said. And the banker got so shook up, he began to tremble, left the aisle, and came down to get saved. And do you know that old that guy, he came down, "Hey, Richard, I got one. I got one." "I got one. Anybody can get one. Ship's been broken. Bow in the stern broken. Just a few old boards. And jump off if you can swim and swim to shore." But somebody said, "I can't swim." Then grab a boat, grab a piece of the ship. And what? And though the pieces could not carry more than one, press God, and a piece got one. One Sunday afternoon, same little church in Garland, a lady named Dillard came. Mrs. Dillard said, "Pray for Leon. He's an alcoholic. He won't come to church. He hates you, hates the church." She said, I said, "Tell him. Ask him to come to church tonight." And she said, "He won't come." I said, "Tell him you're going to leave him if he doesn't." You call it a lie. You say, "You shouldn't have told her." I know, but nobody's perfect. All of us have bad days. She went out that afternoon. She said, "Leon, I want you to go to church." "I don't want to go to church." Leon was about 5'5" tall and about 5'5" wide. He wore a size 17 shirt with a size 19 neck. He'd go to a bar and get up on the bar and challenge fellas to come and fight him. He'd been a good truck driver. But anyway, she said, I'm leaving you if you don't come tonight." Leon said, "I got 2 fifths of whiskey in my car." He said, "I'm going to go hear that blankety-blank preacher because I don't want you to leave me, but after I get through hearing him, I'm getting out in the car and I'm drinking those 2 fifths of whiskey. She said, "If you come to church, okay." He came to church that night, sat right back over here. We didn't have pews, had folding chairs. I preached that night on the funeral of the old man.
Leon Diller didn't walk out. He walked the chairs. He just chairs just coming like that. And he walked right through those chairs. Big old alcoholic, big bruiser of a guy, contractor. I said, Leon, did you come to get saved? He said, I don't know what getting saved is, but I'm ready to bury the old man. He got saved that night. Next Sunday morning, I stood to preach, and I walked in the platform, and right back there in the back was the 15 of the motley looking people you ever saw in your life. Leon Dillard had gone to the tavern the night before, and he walked in the tavern, and the bartender said, what you want to drink, Leon? And Leon said, the drinks are on me. And the bartender said, hey, folks, gather around. The drinks are on Leon Dillard tonight. Leon Dillard opened his Bible to John chapter 4 and preached a sermon on the water of life. Brought 15 of those old drunks to church the next day. They sat back together. You'd never smell such an odor in your life. People scooting away from them and scooting away from them. The invitation time came. Leon Dillard walked down the aisle with one. He said, preacher, said, I don't know how to win them, but said, I know how to bring them. He said, you win this, and I'll go back and get another one. I won that one. He went back and got another one. He came back and said, preacher, you win this, and I'll go back and get another one. I was his pastor for almost seven years. There was not a single Sunday in those 7 years, Brother Bob, that Leon Dillard didn't walk down the aisle with at least one fellow from out there in the world. And he said the same thing. He said, preacher, you win this, and I'll go back and get another one. I was back down there preaching. Leon went to heaven a few years ago, but back to preach several years later, preaching in Fort Worth, and I looked back, and there said old Leon Dillard. Still looked like he was unsaved. Invitation time came. He brought a motley-looking guy, sort of a poorly dressed guy, dumb-looking fella. I think he was a truck driver. I'm not sure. Or a sailor. But anyway, he brought him down the aisle. He said, Reverend, preacher, you win this, and I'll go back and get another. Leon Dillard never preached to a crowd like this. He had broken his life. Sin. Wasted years. Had ruined his life. His life was a shipwreck. He could not house thousands of people. He could not pastor a great church. But thank God there's some old drunks out there and get on that little piece of that ship and be brought to the shore. One day a fellow came to our church, couldn't read and write. He was a big, burly fellow, was a bricklayer. He walked like a bear. So I nicknamed him Bear Watley. Bear Watley, Miss Howes and I went over to eat at his house. He got saved. He couldn't read. He couldn't write. Couldn't even spell his own name. We went over to eat lunch one day on Sunday with him. Had a nice new little house. And the one door was all marked up. Looked like somebody had done something on purpose to it. Had scratches and marks all over it. I said, Leon, Bear, what's wrong with that door? He said, nothing. That's my soul winning door. I said, what do you mean? He said, my wife gave me that door. I said, what for? He said, every time I win a soul, I put a mark on that door with a nail. I counted 167 marks on that door. I said to Ms. Watley, I said, my wife wouldn't let me do that to a door. Of course, I couldn't win 167 folks either, but my wife wouldn't let me do that to a door. She said, if you treated her like he treated me before he got saved, you'd give him a door. He marks them up. He used to tear them down. You know the story as well as I do. 20 long years, she walked the streets, a prostitute in Calumet City. 20 long years, she sold her body to wicked men for price. In the streets of Hammond and the streets of Calumet City. She came to the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Somebody told her the story of Christ. And Sandy Taylor got saved. A broken ship. Just a piece. Life wrecked. Storm of sin. Storm of wasted years. Sin. Storm of wasted years. Storm of disillusionment. But Sandy Taylor, though she lives in Florida now, she's still bringing folks to the shore. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If you're going through the storms of life today, let me remind you, so did Moody and so did Finney and so did Spurgeon and so did Lee Robertson and so did John Bunyan and so did John Wesley and so did John Fletcher. But out of the storm comes usefulness. No storm, no usefulness. And let me say this. Most of you have disqualified yourself from ever being a great seagoing vessel. You never sailed the seas like the princely and queenly ship that carries 1,000 tourists. You'll never sail the seas with airplanes coming down on your deck. You'll never sail the seas as a beautiful yacht. You're just an old piece of wood or a broken piece of the ship. But I've got good news for you, folks. You can get one. This piece got one. It got one. And God can use you. Oh, I wish everybody could be a stately, queenly ship. I wish everybody could be a beautiful yacht. I wish everybody could be a lovely sailboat and sail in the America's Cup. I wish everybody could carry hundreds and maybe thousands to shore. But so many have wrecked their lives in disease and sin and divorce, and failure has come in your life, and storm has come and your life. I've got news for you. He's right. Back to the joy of life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling, and I must go. Come back this morning. Let God use you. See, my life is broken. Good. Some swam to shore, and some were saved by pieces of wood and broken pieces of the ship. Would you bow your heads, please? No one.